You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. Rob Guest from football.london here, and welcome to the latest episode of Golden Guest Hot Tottenham, sponsored by NordVPN. Joining me as ever, it's Alistair Gold. Ali, you well?
Yeah, I'm good. It's just weird, this kind of break. It's like it comes at an unnatural time, I think. I think it's a good time for Spurs, for them to kind of recover all of their kind of aching and ill bodies that they've got. But yeah, for us as reporters, it just feels weird not to have a match this weekend and not to have a press conference today as well. But as it's Tottenham, there's still loads to talk about. And potentially, hopefully, if it advances from where it is currently, maybe another transfer on the cards as well.
Yeah, I mean, it does pretty much feel like an international break in January with no game. But even still, a lot's happened over the past few days in the world of Tottenham Hotspur. Maybe one more player coming into the club potentially, and we've seen three players head out on loan. So lots to discuss. First of all, we'll start with Antonio Nusa, who plays for Club Bruges. Obviously, we understand that Tottenham are in talks over a potential deal for him. That would be a permanent transfer, but he would be remaining with the Belgian side for the remainder of the season. Spurs are planning for the future here.
Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned this on previous pods that there's this kind of feeling that there was likely to be an attempt to get a signing for the future in this window. One of those where, exactly like Pat Matasar, Destiny Udogie, I know they were both summer window ones. Maybe Dele Alli is probably the best example of a January move like that, and then a loan back. But it was just this feeling that maybe they were going to try and tie up something for the long term. And it looks like potentially Nusa's that guy. A lot of interest in him. Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool have all looked at him. I think Chelsea reportedly had a bid rejected in the summer for him. I think the talk in, because he's Norwegian, but obviously he's playing in Belgium. I think the talk in the Norwegian media was that it was about 25 million that they'd had rejected as well. So Spurs aren't going to get him for the kind of Sara Doggy price range, I don't believe, unless they can kind of backload it with various things that, you know, if he is a success, which they hope he will be. But at the moment, it appears to be there's been talks held this week. No sign as of yet when we're recording this of a bid, whether that comes in shortly after when they kind of get closer. Because this is the thing, there's no point in kind of making a bid until you've got a rough idea of a common ground that you can start at, really, or anywhere near. But he's a very exciting young player. You and I have both kind of spent the day really kind of digging into everything about him and his path, and kind of speaking myself to some people that kind of know him. And the word that came straight away from a couple of them was humble, which is it's a good word in today's game. This is not to absolutely do down every young player that's out there. But, you know, it's difficult, I think, for young players in today's game, especially when they're earning decent money straight off the bat, to kind of keep their feet on the ground. But everything about Nusa suggests that that's exactly what he's like. And obviously, he had to move across to Belgium when he was 16, wasn't he, I think, when he moved across. Just ridiculous, his career, when you look at it. He made his debut for I've got the name of the club in Norway he was at, which I'm going to absolutely butcher the spelling of. Stibak, I think. He was just 16 when he made his senior debut there. I'm going for Stibak. It's one of those where the A and the E in the Norwegian is close together. I can't remember what they call that word or that letter.
I have no idea. We'll go with what you said is the right pronunciation.
This isn't Golden Guest talk Norwegian alphabet, is it? Yeah, and he scored his first goal for them when he was 16, and then he went across to Club Bruges, made his debut for them at 16, played made a load of appearances last season, 32 appearances last season, despite the fact he was only 17. Then probably made his name for more people by scoring in the Champions League on his debut last season against Porto in the group stages. That made him the youngest player to score in his debut in the Champions League. Technically, he's the second youngest just overall to have scored in the Champions League. Ansu Fati was 109 days younger when he did it for Barcelona. But yeah, he's a real talent. International stage, he's been kind of made an instant impact for Norway. Scored an assist on his debut for them against Jordan in a friendly. And if you thought, oh, you know, it's that's not the toughest game. I think they won something like 6-0. He also, in the qualifying games for the Euros, in the next three games, laid on three assists, one for Erling Haaland, and actually, no, two for Erling Haaland, one against Cyprus, one against Georgia, and also Martin Odegaard. He set up one of his goals against Georgia as well. So this is a guy that clearly is not bothered about the next steps. It doesn't faze him. And all of these characteristics kind of fall nicely into the Postecoglou wheelhouse. You know, he looks for these humble players. He looks for players that will be grounded despite their talent, but also adaptable players who can take other countries, take a next step. I mean, this guy's, you know, Noose has played in the Champions League. He's played in the international stage, despite the fact he's still a teenager. He's had a back injury this season at times that I think has fragmented his appearances a little bit. So I think he's made 26 appearances. He's got three goals and three assists, but I would caveat that with the back injury. He's been off the bench in a few of those appearances as well. Quite a few, I think. But yeah, sounds like a really exciting player if they can get it to the next step, Spurs. Obviously, at the moment, it's talks, and there's those other clubs you know will be kind of very much looking in and watching what happens. Clubs across Europe also looking in. He has said, I think I've got the quote here, that about the Premier League, he once described it as the best and most beautiful competition in the world. So you would hope the Premier League clubs would have that kind of advantage. But, I mean, I've got a quote from Erik Thorsvedt about him. He's been speaking today. But I know you've also been looking at what various people have said about him over the years. What do people have said about him?
Well, Martin Odegaard praised him a couple of times. Obviously, he mentioned his impact in, I think it was Norway's qualifier against Georgia. Odegaard says he's an incredibly exciting player. You know, you see it, everything he gets the ball, it's exciting. He's still young and will get even better. He must continue as he has done, work hard, be humble. He's a nice boy, very calm and nice type. He's going to be just fine. He's just got to enjoy the football and continue to deliver. As he does, then it will be good. Former Norway manager Per Mathias Hogmo, he's basically said in Norway they've several good players, but Antonio Nusa is something very special. Matt Solheim, who played with him at Stabæk, or what, however you pronounced it, he said, right. Yeah, I can see similarities to Neymar in Nusa's movement, in the way he uses the ball. There is still a small gap between them, but he can get there. Henning Berg, Gunnar Haller, as you may remember, played in the Premier League before. They both, you know, praise him. They think he's an excellent player. So everyone's just been waxing lyrical about him. And he just seems to be the next player off the production line in Norway. And it's weird how it works in international football. It just seems to go in cycles. You'll either have a really good team or you'll struggle for years. And past few years, Erling Haaland, obviously Martin Odegaard, Oscar Bob, who scored for Man City away at Newcastle last week. Norway looks like it's producing some really, really good talent at the moment, with Nusa certainly being the one in the headlines at the moment. And obviously, we're reeling off those stats. One goal, four assists in his first four games for Norway. That's, you know, some going, and I think everyone just thinks he's going to get even better. So I think this can be a really, really good move for Spurs, especially when there's been a number of Europe's biggest clubs looking at him. He's a left-sided player. He's right-footed, so he likes cutting onto his right. He can play all across the attacking line as well, can score, can assist. Just got big game experience already of playing in the Champions League, in the Europa Conference League. international stage for Norway in the qualifiers. They were coming up against Spain in a must-win game in Oslo a few months back. He just seems to have the world at his feet already. He seems to have the talent, and it's obviously just going to be down to him to take the next steps. But as you said, seems to be a humble lad, and you won't bet against him getting there.
Yeah, I don't know if we've actually mentioned what position he plays in yet, but he is an attacker that can play across the front three. Predominantly, he's been playing on the left, mainly, for club and country. But yeah, he can play anywhere across those front three positions. And yeah, just ridiculously kind of calm guy for his age. He's like one of the fastest with the ball at his feet. He's kind of acknowledged as being in the Belgian, is it Juniper Pro League? And yeah, just it very much feels like one of those Doggy Sarr type deals. That this is someone that everyone wants, or a lot of teams certainly want and know is going to be a bit of something special. I have no doubt that Johan Lang, a fellow Scandinavian, not of me, but of Nusa, would have kind of been very, very much aware of this young man's talent, and would have been pushing Spurs to kind of have a look at him. And also the fact that as soon as he's come in, he knows he fits Postecoglou's way. And actually, I said about the Erik Thorsvedt quotes. Obviously, Erik Thorsvedt, the former Spurs goalkeeper, he spoke to Norwegian media outlet Nettavisen today. He said, "I heard some hints about this a few weeks ago, so I knew it could be on the cards. It's really cool. Tottenham are a fantastic club to come to right now. They have such good tools now that they do a tremendously thorough job. It is also reassuring for the player that they know what they are buying. Nusa is still very young, but Postecoglou is not afraid to pick people. He'll get his opportunities, and he is so good that he will take them." And on the actual deal itself, which the suggestions in Belgium appear to be that Club Brugge are holding out for around £30 million plus the loan back for the rest of the season, which is a lot more than the deals for Sarr and Doggy, who are both around the £15 million mark, certainly the initial payments. But yeah, Chelsea having a £25 million move reportedly failed in the summer. That kind of keeps that price high. So how far Spurs can knock that price down, I don't know. We'll find out. But yeah, on that deal, Thorsvedt said, "It's a huge price for a Belgian club. That's a lot of money for Tottenham, but it's half of some of the most expensive players they've bought. I know a certain Brazilian that cost double that." But thankfully, he's doing very well now. "They must be confident in the qualities he has. There is a clear interest here. Before, there used to be endless negotiations with Tottenham. They were supposed to squeeze the last pound, but we saw now with the last defender they brought from Genoa," obviously we know that's Dragosin, "then they got the player when it should have stood between them and Bayern Munich. It shows that Daniel Levy may have changed his style a bit." Oh, Thorsvedt going in on the Spurs chairman there. I think it's just more that certainly the Dragosin deal, they just knew they needed him in, didn't they? Quickly as well. Obviously, they weren't to know that Romero and Van de Ven were going to suddenly be available. But yeah, I like the sound of Nusa. It's, I think he has the same agent, if I'm not mistaken, as Gift Orban, who Spurs seriously looked at. I think it was in the summer, wasn't it, at Ghent. He's just gone to Lyon as well, which is quite interesting. He hasn't had a great season, Gift Orban. I don't know if there's probably reasons for it. Maybe he kind of had injury issues. I don't know. Maybe it was just the fact that a lot of these young players can't kind of match the initial season and until they kind of almost take a step back to end up going two steps forward. So he may well still end up being a terrific player. But yeah, I did find that quite interesting that it's the same agency. And yeah, we'll see what comes of him. It's like I say, it's at the moment we're just talking about a player that Spurs have had talks over. But if it becomes something more than that, then you'd imagine for next season, if they feel he's ready, he could be a very kind of potent option in the mix for Postecoglou in those front spots. And, it's one of those, we don't know what it means for the future of the likes of Brian Hill's the obvious one, and whether he has a long-term future at Spurs. Obviously, Ivan Perisic looks like potentially Hajduk Split might get that done in this window. There's obviously there's been more noise about that now. So yeah, you do have a couple of players that could potentially head off, and obviously we don't know what's going to happen with Timo Werner. We hope he's going to be a massive success, but if he's not, then he'll head back to Leipzig in the summer. And then also, I know this is kind of a sacrilege to say right now because he's such an amazing player, but obviously they have to kind of have a succession plan in place for Sonny for the long-term future. Obviously, he's only 31 now, so I'm sure Spurs will be hoping they get a good, you know, 4 or 5 years out of him, if not more. But you've got to kind of plan as well for the future, and that's what these kind of young players coming in do. So, yeah, very exciting. But we've been here before with moves that haven't quite gone the distance. So we won't get too carried away at this point in time, but certainly a very, very decent young prospect.
Yeah, I was just going to mention Son. If obviously Tottenham can get a deal over the line for Nusa, basically, are they looking at Son's long-term replacements? As you say, 31, going to be turning 32 later this year. You know, still a really, really good player who's, you know, instrumental to the Tottenham team and Ange Postecoglou's way of playing. But players can't go on forever, can they? So you might only have Sonny for another, like say, 3 or 4 years. And there needs to be a plan in place because, I mean, there was always talk of Hugo Lloris's long-term successor. And the Spurs never quite got there until, obviously, this summer when Guglielmo Vicario came into the club with after Lloris made it clear that he wanted to move elsewhere. So I think there does need to be, you know, something in place to find Son. When everyone believes he's going to get better, it could well be him going forward. Like you say, I don't think it bodes well for Brian Hill, given Nusa plays on the left. Obviously, this is dependent on Spurs getting over a deal over the line for him, but doesn't exactly look good for Brian, especially with Timo Werner coming in as well this month. So, but there's still a couple of weeks left in the transfer window, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, and to be fair to Brian Hill, everything that's been kind of coming out from around the player seems to be that he really wants to fight for his place at Spurs. You know, there's been a lot of suggestions about him heading off, and that may still end up being the case. But I don't think if he goes, it'll be kind of for the want of trying at Spurs and trying to earn his place. I still maintain he's a very talented young player. I still don't think he's convinced anyone entirely that physically he's able to kind of to fully display those talents because it's just a difficult league for players that kind of aren't ready for that physicality. He battles away, but sometimes you just have players that maybe it suits them in a different league. And obviously we know Spanish football kind of fits him like a glove. We'll see. Who knows? Football things change very quickly. All he needs to go on a little bit of a run of a couple of games. Like, you know, Lo Celso scored in back-to-back games and suddenly everyone was like, oh, fantastic. And then, of course, he got an injury again, which was like, oh, okay, we're back to where we were. But you never know. You know, never know with Brian Hill. He had a little kind of burst of games under Antonio Conte, didn't he, when they had injury problems. And suddenly he looked like he might make an impact then. But yeah, like you say, Spurs looking for players who can play in that position doesn't bode particularly well for him.
No, I think he's played well this season when he has been given the game time. And I don't think the FA Cup draws have helped him either. No. Because let's face it, he's not going to start against Man City next Friday. He perhaps could have started against Burnley, but I think Ange made his stance clear on the FA Cup that Spurs are going for it because they were at full strength. So yeah, we'll just have to keep an eye out and see what happens in regards to Brian. Right, there's been another couple of transfer moves this week. 3 deals on the loan front. On Wednesday, it was confirmed. This was quite a surprise as well when the news broke Wednesday morning. Spurs had recalled Alfie Devine from what was a really, really promising loan spell at Port Vale. Then a few hours later, Wednesday afternoon, it was confirmed Alfie had made the move up to the Championship to Plymouth Argyle. So obviously he's joining fellow Tottenham youngster Ashley Phillips at Home Park. And I think it's quite a good move for him.
Yeah, Yeah, I think so. Do you know what it reminded me of? And obviously, don't kind of use what came next for this player, but it reminded me of Keon Etete, who started off as a striker. Didn't he go from League 2 to League 1?
I think it was Northampton to Cheltenham. I think that was it. Yeah,
that was what it was. I think Northampton was one of them, yeah. And he kind of showed that he was able to make that step up until I think he got an injury, which kind of ended that little bit prematurely for him. But yeah, with Alfie, it's just a case that he's kind of got there's such high hopes for him within Spurs, and there's a real feeling that, you know, next season, if he has a good season this season, this was back in the summer, that potentially he could come back and be a real Maddison alternative and someone to kind of push him as this young player. And everything he's done thus far has matched the expectations. You know, he's gone to Port Vale, his first senior loan, like properly playing some kind of regular football, and he's smashed it. And he's just, with every passing month, has got stronger and stronger, developed continuously there. And they are understandably gutted to lose him. And I do feel for Port Vale, because this is unfortunately just the nature of the business. And that's why Spurs put January recall clauses in pretty much all of these deals for young players, because, you know, if they feel like they're outgrowing in a way that level, they want to test them straight away at the next level, because that way they've got a better sense of if he can come back next season and you know, actually be ready for the Premier League. I mean, he made 26 appearances for Port Vale in only half a season, 3 goals, 3 assists. Scored that goal in the, was it Carabao Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah, away at Mansfield. Yeah.
Yeah. And he is, yeah, it's one of those where I think a lot of Spurs fans are like, why have you called him back? He's doing really well. He's playing regular football. But on paper, he's going to Plymouth, where Ian Foster's there, isn't he? Coached him, was it under 18s and 19s with England?
Under 19s and 20s. And 20s.
Yeah, that's it. Knows him inside out. Actually, you, because I know you wrote about this, kind of what's kind of relationship there, and what's he said about him? I think he thinks he's terrific, doesn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely raves about Alfie. He rates him incredibly highly. I think he said he's known him since his Wigan days, where obviously he made such a mark that Tottenham wanted to lure him to North London. And yeah, he's had Alfie in the under-19s as part of his under-20 World Cup squad in the summer for the tournament in Argentina last summer. I just think it's a really good move that suits both Devine and, you know, Ange Postecoglou and Tottenham, because Ian Foster, similar to Ange in terms of he likes to play expansive attacking football. Plymouth have been scoring for fun in the Championship this season. I think there's only probably about 6 teams in the top half who scored more than them. They have also been conceding for fun, so that's going to make it quite a tough job for Ashley Phillips. But Ian Foster will be looking, you know, to put that right straight away. But I think given the attacking football to play, I just think it suits Alfie Devine down to the ground. And Ian Foster's been mentioning about Alfie can play as an attacking midfielder, can also play slightly deeper as well. So this is the great thing about him. Alfie knows what his new manager wants in his teams. So he immediately goes into Plymouth, just knowing what's expected of him. And yeah, I just think it's a really, really smart move. I mean, it was a bit of a shock that he was recalled from Port Vale, given how well he's done, but it just makes total sense. Let him take that next step up, see him how he does, especially when he could potentially be part of the Tottenham squad next season. So yeah, I think there'll be quite a few Tottenham fans keeping an eye on Plymouth of the remainder of the season with Devine and Phillips there. Yeah, I just think it can be a move that, you know, has a huge, huge impact for Tottenham going forward.
Yeah, he's got so much potential and he is very versatile. Like you say, he can play in both central midfield, kind of attacking and a bit deeper. He can also play, we saw him play right wing in pre-season. He did really well and he either got an assist or he had a chance that led to a corner which Spurs then scored from or something like that.
That was it. That led to, was it Lo Celso scoring from the corner? Devine had a shot, keeper saved it, and then they did score from the resulting corner. Yeah.
And I sat down and had a kind of a really good one-to-one chat with Alfie out in Singapore, I think it was, during that tour. And he's very clever, speaks very well, knows exactly what he wants from his career, knows exactly like we were talking about with Noosa, that kind of very humble, grounded nature to them, just kind of wanting to do a job for the team. Like I say, knows the kind of what they want to do, but also that they, you can't achieve that without being part of the whole team ethic. And you can see Postecoglou had a soft spot for him. And yeah, it's a terrific loan for him. I tell you what, though, it's just been a mad month in terms of the loan market for Spurs. Obviously, even leaving aside the fact that Timo Werner's come in on loan, but you just look at it. I mean, four players have returned from their loan clubs to head straight back out again for Spurs. They, in all, have sent out eight players on loan this month, on top of the three others who are still involved in season-long loans. And there could be more joining them, because we do allow a loan roundup each week. We've currently got 11 players on the loan roundup, which might be the most we've had in a while in one bunch. Certainly over a season, we've had a few. I'm trying to think we've had 11 in one season. But obviously, Dane Scarlett's come back, so he can't be part of that group anymore. But yeah, and I guess Dane's a good kind of example for Alfie now, because Dane obviously went to Ipswich to a team that, again, played good football, to a manager in Kieran McKenna, who knows him very well and was very excited about having him, yet still didn't really feature enough or more as much as he wanted to. So for Alfie, it's a case of, as he did at Port Vale, kind of, he very quickly went into the starting lineup at Port Vale. I think it took him maybe a week or so. He kind of maybe came off the bench to begin with, as all new arrivals do, pretty much. But he very quickly became a regular staple of that midfield. And I mean, you look at his kind of minutes for the season, and he barely missed any minutes apart from when he was injured. He got a little injury towards the end of his time that kind of kept him out for about two or three matches, if that. And that's what he's got to do. He's going to be super fit and ready to kind of get going in a championship. And he's just got to make sure he gets regular football and shows everyone at Spurs that he can just keep climbing that ladder. He's a terrific young talent.
Yeah, so Plymouth are in action on Saturday, 3 p.m, Cardiff City at home. So potentially home debuts there for both Alfie Devine and Ashley Phillips. Right, Ali?
Ashley, you should just say very quickly, Ashley Phillips was a man of match, wasn't he, on his debut for Plymouth?
He was, yeah. I think yeah. Alan McAnally on Gillette Soccer Special was basically saying this lad's going to be an absolute superstar. So yeah. Already made a big, big impression at Plymouth. And I think there's plenty more to come from him between now and May. Right, as we're now about halfway through the pod, do you want to tell everyone about the benefits of using NordVPN?
I can, yeah. The Golden Guest Talk Tottenham podcast is sponsored by NordVPN, and you can use the service in a host of different ways to enhance your internet experience. NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and that means there's no buffering, no lagging, and you can stream your favorite shows from anywhere in the world without your bandwidth throttling. It's a service, an app, whatever you want to call it, that I've used for years, long before Nord came on board as our podcast sponsor. I've used it when I've been on holiday and I've wanted to watch stuff that I would normally watch back home, that for some reason your device suddenly knows it's in a different country and it doesn't allow you to do it. Well, this way you can switch your device to thinking it is back home and you can still watch your stuff. And likewise, you can watch stuff from other countries by making your device think it's there. And also, from a security element, it goes some way to stopping, you know, nasty people trying to get your things off of your devices when you're using public Wi-Fi as well. And not only that, but the outlay on a NordVPN subscription is cheaper for you in the long run. That's because you can purchase streaming services or bookings from other countries at a much cheaper rate. So, for example, you might be able to book flights from another country and it could be cheaper too. So it means you're paying out for Nord, but you're saving money overall. There's a whole host of other benefits from signing up to NordVPN, so why not give it a go? You can grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goldguest to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus four additional months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee.
Wednesday evening also saw another transfer for Spurs with Sergio Reguilón making the move to Brentford on loan for the remainder of the season. Reguilón obviously spent the first half of the campaign at Manchester United. They activated their break clause in January once Luke Shaw was back to fitness. And it's a bit of an up and down time for Reguilón, really, at Old Trafford. He made 12 appearances, but there were occasions where, obviously, Diogo Dalot, Aaron Wan-Bissaka played on his side, even though he was available. So it was one of these where it was going to be extremely limited football for him in the second half of the campaign. So he returned to Spurs. Then Ange made it clear that Reguilón wouldn't be part of his squad because he didn't feature in the Burnley and the... who was the last game against? Forgotten already.
Was it Villa? Was it Villa?
I can't remember. But basically, he wanted the squad. So it's so bad that we can't remember.
All the research we've added to everyone else and we've forgotten.
I know.
Reguilón's last game.
Yeah, so he wasn't in the squad. So it was made clear that he would be going out on loan again. And I think it's a good move for him at Brentford, especially considering Rico Henry's got a long-term injury. He's not going to feature again this season, it doesn't look like. So the game time should be there for Reguilón. And that's exactly what he needs because it's just been such a bad, probably 18 months for him. I think it's 24 appearances of the past 18 months because his loan spell at Atletico Madrid last season didn't work out at all. Had an injury even when he was back. There was limited game time for him there under Diego Simeone. So, yeah, it's just an opportunity for him to get minutes under his belt, put himself in the window again for the summer and just get his career on track because, as I said, it's just been so, so frustrating for him over the past couple of years.
Last game he played for United was he came off the bench in the final minute in the defeat against Forest.
Yeah, I meant Tottenham's last game. It was Man U.
Oh, Tottenham's last game.
Yeah, yeah. I just totally forgot. Mind went. It was Man U.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, could have helped you with that. I thought you were talking about his last game for United. Well, everyone was probably thinking we're mad having that conversation. Like, how are you doing a Tottenham podcast and not knowing their last game? We did know. With Reguilón, it was one of those where everyone knew that it was likely to be a six-month loan. It was never kind of perceived it was going to be a season-long loan unless just dramatic things happened. And like you say, you know, Ten Hag was playing players out of position just to not play him, which is never a good sign. Brentford's a good move for him. Obviously, Rico Henry's got that serious... was it a knee injury, I think it was, that ruled him out from... Yeah. God, when was that? September.
September.
Ruled out for the rest of the season with that. So they've kind of been using Saman Godos, Vitaly Janelt, they've both played there. And they're not really natural kind of left backs. They're players that mainly play in the midfield but can cover that position. So Reguilón goes in there as a natural left back. He'll fit kind of Thomas Frank kind of flits between a back four and a back five at times. He'll fit both of those systems. He should get a fair bit of kind of game time. That's the hope. Obviously, he has had this weird, like you say, kind of this lone career almost of like Atletico Madrid, Manchester United, and now Brentford. You know, certainly with Man U and Atletico, he's gone off to play for like two of the biggest teams kind of in the game. And I mean, he was very unlucky at Atletico. He was like, he went there with an injury. He then got hospitalised with a stomach illness that was like really awful at one point for him. But he's just hasn't convinced, I don't think, since those early days at Spurs. I mean, that first game against Chelsea when everyone was like, okay, a bit ropey for like defending, but my goodness, you know, he kind of picked up from there. And then unfortunately, I think we just kind of saw the bit ropey at defending part was too ropey at defending, I think, really. I mean, it may be that he goes to Brentford and Thomas Frank does wonders with him. Spurs will be hoping that because, you know, it gives him, what's he got? He's got to have a year left in his contract this summer. As with pretty much most of these loan deals, barring Alfie Devine that we're going to talk about, as in the ones who have gone back out again, it's about plumping up their price tag. That's really kind of what it is. And it's so cynical and it's awful. You know, you are kind of seeing these players as commodities almost rather than just players that are going to play for the club. But we know they're all very unlikely to play for the club again. And I'm obviously talking about Jed Spence, Japhet Tanganga and Reguilon here as the three with Alfie that have kind of come back and then gone out again. But even someone like Joe Roden. Joe Roden's absolutely smashing it at Leeds. But the Leeds mistake that they didn't make was they didn't get an option when they signed the deal for him in the summer. So Joe Roden's absolutely smashing it. And I think there's people at Leeds now who are a bit like, oh, pants, you know, what happens now? He's playing so well. A, his value's creeping up with every passing month that we'll have to pay for him. And B, other clubs are going to be sniffing around and thinking, well, hello, what a great option for us. You know, there's going to be a few Premier League teams or teams going up to the Premier League, I think, are going to look at Joe Roden. And this is what I think the hope will be with Reguilon. You get him playing regularly for Brentford, and you know, suddenly you've got a player that you can get some reasonable money for in the summer. Otherwise, this is the problem with Spurs: there's too many players having to go out on loan in this scenario. You know, Tongi and Dembele is another one. It's like, oh, I saw a clip of him doing the rounds yesterday, which I don't think did him any favours either. His latest game for Galatasaray. But it is. It's just a case of, please, someone notice these players. Please buy them. And just, it's when you, at a time when we feels like the Spurs transfer recruitment is fantastic. It's really moved on a step. The new recruitment team, especially, doing a really terrific job, I think. There's just this still kind of thing around the club of they just cannot sell on players. They're having to loan them until they can only get rid of them for barely anything at the end of it. And that's something they kind of, well, I say that's something I'm going to look at, but I guess the natural result of good recruitment is that you won't be putting yourself in those scenarios. So, yeah, hopefully they steer away from that in the future. But yeah, as for Reguilon, 27 years old, he's kind of at that crux point in his career now that I think he needs to push on, and hopefully at Brentford he can do that.
Yeah, he has had a number of loan spells in his career. There was Sevilla as well. That's where he made his name, and that's what resulted in the move to Spurs. So, yeah.
You forget he was at Real Madrid. It was like, he's a Real Madrid player. I forgot about that. Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Manchester United. He's played for probably three of the biggest clubs out there, and of course, Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah. And Brentford. Yeah, just fingers crossed it goes well for him. See, he certainly needs it. Right. There was another transfer deal on Thursday. Spurs managed to get Japhet Tanganga back from his loan spell at Augsburg in the Bundesliga. Absolutely terrible for a player who needed to be playing regularly, not to make an appearance at all for them. He was on the bench once. I think he made three appearances in friendly games. Just didn't go to plan, but obviously was back to Spurs on Thursday, then immediately sent out on loan to Millwall in the Championship. So another one who's gone to have the opportunity, providing, of course, you know, he can keep himself match fit to play regularly. It's a bit of a strange one, really, when they look at this move to Millwall in terms of he's a Premier League quality player. And you think if he's going to go to the Championship, there'd be teams, you know, the ones pushing for promotion who'd maybe want to lure him. Millwall, I think, have had a bit of a up and down season. I think they're around mid-table, got a new manager in Joe Edwards, who's been in a couple of months, who's wanted to stamp his mark on the team. And they've got injuries in defence. It's an area they want to strengthen. So they've managed to get Tanganga. But I think it's one of these where you just look at, he needs football. You're as well playing, you know, 20-odd games in the Championship for Millwall rather than playing a couple for Augsburg in Germany. So it's one of these that, yeah, hopefully can just get the minutes under his belt, because he's absolutely desperate, because his career, let's be honest, since he made his Spurs debut, has just been extremely stop-start because of all these injuries.
Yeah. I mean, this has to go down probably as the worst loan of the season, hasn't it? I think at Spurs. It's just been an absolute nightmare in terms of arriving with a knee injury, taking months to kind of come back from that. And then when he comes back, not really wanted. Was on the bench once. It's not even like he's been in the squads, the match day squads. He played, the only minutes he stepped onto a pitch was there was a pre-season friendly. It was like a winter break friendly, wasn't it? No, sorry, international break friendly. That was what it was.
Yeah.
And I think he played the first half of that game. And yeah, he has been impacted by the fact that they've had, Jess Thurup, new manager, coming at Augsburg. Obviously, it's not obviously, but he's changed from a back five to a back four. Suddenly, they had six centre-backs who were trying to fit into two positions. And I think naturally, loan players are probably going to be, they look to the future rather than a loan player. Although, this was the other issue, was that this was a season-long loan deal with an option to buy, which, from the reports I was looking at, I think it was in Germany, it was only like just over £5 million, the option. It really wasn't a big option at all, or big price tag. And the knock-on effect of that is when you have a deal like that with an option, 99% of the time, that means there's no January recall or break clause in it. So Augsburg had to really negotiate with Spurs to essentially say, and this sounds awful, we don't want him. Can you have him back, please? Our squad's huge. We've got too many players. So for Spurs would have been perfectly entitled to say, no, you're fine. It's your problem. You kind of deal with him. And presumably Augsburg are paying a part. I don't know whether they've been paying all of his wages or not, but certainly a chunk of them. But they've obviously kind of managed to kind of find some compromise. And yeah, heading off to Millwall, I think I'm with you. I think you just have to play. I think that's all it is. I think you've just got to get game time. You've got to get the minutes under your belt. His career, I felt sorry for Jaffet. He's needed a loan a lot earlier than this. It reminds me a little bit in the early days of Kyle Walker-Peters. Kyle Walker-Peters was this guy that would come in occasionally. He'd do okay. Then he would maybe get a little injury that would stop any progress he was making. And then eventually we saw what happened. He went out to Southampton and kind of has really made his career there. But for Jaffet, he hasn't had... This was maybe the hope that this was that move. Because I think Kyle Walker-Peters went to Southampton on loan first, didn't he? And then they bought him. Is my brain playing tricks on me?
Or did he can't go remember. Wasn't it the same summer Højbjerg came to Spurs?
It was part of the deal.
Part of the deal. I can't remember if it was like loan initially.
Oh, we're getting forgetful. We're getting old. This is a podcast of two old men just forgetting.
Unless he spent the second half of the previous campaign on loan. I think that was it. Yeah, and I think then they signed him permanently.
Yes, I think you're right. We've redeemed ourselves there. But yeah, similar kind of career in that those early starts, he got to the 23, 24 years old mark and Jaffet, he just has never been a regular option. And injuries have played a part. He's been, he's had a disaster with it. Various injuries. Knee one has been one that keeps coming up. I remember, I think he had a shoulder injury as well. I think there maybe was a back one in there at one point. But look, like you say, the key is staying fit. And then the next thing is just getting minutes under his belt. I think his contract is till 2025, but I've got a feeling the last year is an option. So technically, if Spurs wanted to kind of just, that sounds awful again, but just let him go this summer, I think they could if they didn't take up the option. But then maybe they would have already triggered that option when they sent him on loan because otherwise they could lose him free. I don't know. I don't know how it all works. Ultimately, yeah, if he plays well at Millwall, gets himself back on the radar of a few teams in the Premier League or those kind of looking for promotion for the Championship, and maybe they can get some money for him. But yeah, I just hope for his sake, again, another guy that I've interviewed a fair few times over the years, and he's a lovely chap. Obviously, a Spurs Academy product, and you kind of wish the best for them, anyone that comes through the club. And yeah, we'll see what the second half of the season brings for him.
I wonder if it's going to be one of these similar to like Cameron Carter-Vickers, because he had, an absolutely terrible loan spell at Stoke City. I think it was Luton. The next club he went to, flourished there, went to Bournemouth, ended up at Celtic. Maybe the same will happen for Tanganga. Maybe he'll go down that path. He's just one of these. He's at the age, he needs to be playing regularly. He's clearly not got a future under Ange Postecoglou at Spurs, and yeah, he just needs to make a name for himself over the coming months. And if he does that, then there should be a few interested clubs in him come the summer. Obviously, on our football.london website, there's always pieces about the homegrown, the non-homegrown rules. Ali, you were looking at some different rules yesterday in regards to loan options, if you want to fill everyone in.
Oh, it made my head hurt. It really did. I was looking at Premier League rules. Oh, the Premier League handbook is honestly, and the EFL handbook I was looking at as well. Yeah, if you want to make your brain kind of sore, just read through those. I was talking to the Premier League. I was talking to people in Spurs as well, because obviously we had this scenario, didn't we, last January with Matt Doherty?
Yeah.
When I think Spurs maybe forgot about the new rules that were coming in from FIFA. And we had the situation where Matt Doherty was all set to go on loan to Atletico Madrid. And at the last minute, it was suddenly changed and he had to rip up his contract, or they ripped up his contract. And he headed there as a free agent. So I kind of thought, right, we've got to look, bearing in mind there's 11 loan players now. Oh, we need to kind of look at what's happening here and where it's going. So first off, with those changing FIFA rules, it was in 2022 they brought these in and had them approved. New rules to kind of limit moves that would stop clubs stockpiling like talented young players. It was a bit like Chelsea had a real reputation for this, wasn't it? It was signing a ridiculous amount of players, from young players from abroad, young players from South America. I mean, it kind of feels like they're stockpiled players again this season anyway. But yeah, it was kind of to stop that. And so the new rules, and this was on international loan signings, I've got to stress that last season, 22-23 season, that would be limited to 8 international loan signings in and 8 loaned out. That was going to drop this season to 7. So clubs can only have 7 international loans in and 7 international loans out. And then next season, it will go down to 6, and that's what it will stay at, 6 for the foreseeable future. Homegrown players and those under the age of 21 remain exempt from those regulations. So if you're purely looking at international loans right now, that means you've only got Jed Spence, Tongi Ndombele, and Eric Dier technically fall into that category right now. Troy Parrott, who's Excelsior Rotterdam, I don't think he does, because in UEFA's under-21s list, he'd be on it because he was born after January 1st, 2002. So he wouldn't count, I don't think. So that means of the 7 they're allowed this season, they've only got 3. So they've got a little bit of latitude to play with there. So that's international loans sorted out. Oh, the other international interesting thing about that, those changes, was it also the maximum you could do on a loan is a year. You can't do any more than that. So obviously, Dejan Kulusevski was 2-year loan, was it?
18 months.
Jenson Fernandes, I think, was 18 months as well. Of course, they were January signings, yeah. So you can't do that anymore. That's kind of brought an end to those kind of deals. With domestic loans, oh, this was the one that took a lot of back and forth and trying to work this out. But certainly the consensus from talking to the Premier League, talking to people in Spurs, and looking through the EFL handbook as well, is that in terms of Premier League to Premier League loans, you can only have 4, but no more than 1 from a single Premier League club. So that's Premier League to Premier League. That's not other English leagues. Football League limit is 5 loan players in a match day squad. I remember this was Jack Clark's problem, wasn't it, when he went back to Leeds because they signed, was it Eddie Nketiah?
I think so, yeah.
That was
probably it.
And that completely messed up. Jack Clark was suddenly the one who couldn't be in the squad. However, essentially, with all of that in mind, because there's actually no restrictions on how many players Spurs could send out domestically to various clubs, other than they can't send, they can't have in more than 4 from a Premier League club, which they're not doing anyway. And with Football League clubs, yeah, each of those clubs can't use more than 5 in their squad, but that doesn't actually restrict Spurs from sending out players. Essentially, you could send out as many players as you like across the Football League, as long as you don't send, I guess, more than 5 to 1 club. So yeah, I think that's the aim, is to kind of change that. I do wonder if domestic loans will change. FIFA said that national associations would be given 3 years from July the 1st, 2022 to start to implement rules that were similar to their FIFA international rules. So we may see that that changes. But so right now, Spurs have got 3 international loans out of players over 21, 7 domestic loans out. So yeah, ultimately, all of that absolute guff I was just coming out with, they've got no issues with loan moves this season. They're well within their means. 3 international loans when they can have 7, and 7 domestic loans out when, quite frankly, they could have a million if they wanted. So yeah, we're okay in that regard.
Good. Right, so obviously there's no game for Spurs this weekend. So Ange Postecoglou was given the players some time off, and given how cold it is in the country at the moment, you cannot blame them for going away. And just looking at the players' Instagram stories, Brian Hill's in Miami, then Emerson Royale, Guillermo Vicario, they're in Dubai as well. They all seem to be having a good time.
Yeah, it's... You know, they almost go on as many holidays as you do. You know, it's incredible. But like you, they've got this ability, I guess, just to jump on a private jet and head anywhere they want, you know, the Rob Guest way. Yeah, I mean, not to say we're stalking them on social media or anything, but my goodness, some of the places look fantastic. But why not? You know, you've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off this week. Postecoglou's given them. They've worked hard. They've earned these kind of... a little bit of warm weather getaway. As we said in the last pod, Postecoglou didn't take up the option to go and do some warm weather training. He kind of felt they were better served at Hotspur Way in the freezing cold and rain and stuff. And I guess because that's pretty much what the Premier League is going to be like when it returns anyway. And now giving these players the 4 days just to rest and recuperate. I saw Vicario before he headed off. He did a little clinic, a goalkeeping clinic with all the academy goalkeepers, which I thought was really cool. Him and Rob Birch, the first team coach, first team goalkeeping coach. That was very nice. And yeah, why not? Why not? We want them rested and recovered, and we want the old players. I think Dejan Kulusevski, obviously, he was ill, missed the game against United. I think he's jetted off abroad as well on a very warm holiday. So yeah, why not? If you can, go for it.
Yeah. Right, I think we'll leave that there for today's latest episode of Golden Guest Talk Tottenham. We'll be back early next week to preview the FA Cup fourth round clash against Man City at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Friday evening. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and just keep with us at football.london for all your latest Tottenham news. To grab our huge discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/goldguest. You can receive an extra 4 months for free. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the episode description box.